Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring veterinarian Dr. Debbie White, groomer Joey Villani, news director Lori Brooks. And now, from the Red Barn Studios, here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Okay, in about an hour, I'm going to go take the dog for a walk. And something I enjoy doing every day because I get the exercise. Not only does the dog get it, but I get a little bit of exercise in there. It makes me feel better. But I'm always freaked out when I see these dogs that are not on leash. They come running towards...
Oh, your heart just drops.
Yeah, so that's my nightmare.
It is a nightmare. And we've all probably had to deal with that once or twice. And this hour, we're going to find out what to do in that particular situation. Because apparently, there's a list of things that you should do if you encounter a dog running loose when you're with your dog.
What are they? I need to know.
I can't tell you.
Okay.
But Stephanie Coleman, she will tell you. And she is the manager of the puppy department at the Guide Dogs of America.
The puppy department.
Do we have a puppy department here?
We need one.
Yeah, we need a puppy department.
I'll manage it.
So that's on the way in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Lori, what are you working on for the news this hour?
Well, coming up, we're going to talk about the top dog names, male, female dogs. Got both categories going there. And also some of the trendier names that are on the list for the most popular dog names.
Okay, that's on the way. Dr. Debbie, you want to take a couple of calls?
Yeah, let's go to it.
Jeff, hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you all today?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Right now I'm calling from my big truck rolling down the highway.
Your big truck rolling down?
I'm a truck driver. I'm in South Texas right now rolling down the highway.
Okay, do you travel with your pet?
I've got a 2-year-old Ori Pei, and she is prone for some reason to ear infections. It seems like every month she ends up with an ear infection. We put her on antibiotics from our local vet and ear drops in her ears. We don't get water in her ears. We don't let her swim. When we give her a bath, we put cotton in them to keep the water out, but just seems like we can't get rid of them completely, and it goes from one ear to the other. She gets them in both ears. Sometimes it'll just be the right one. Sometimes it'll just be the left one. But for the last year, we've been fighting these ear infections, and me and my wife was just wanting to know if Dr. Debbie had any answers for us as to what we could do.
What do you think, Doc?
Oh, there's definitely some suggestions in it, but first I want to go back. I didn't quite hear. What breed is she?
She's an Ori Pei.
Is that related to a Shar Pei?
Yeah, she's an actual registered breed. She's half pug, half Shar Pei.
Never heard of that.
Okay, yeah. I had to get back a little explanation on that one. Okay, so she's definitely coming from two breed backgrounds where ear infections are not uncommon. And definitely, especially on the Shar Pei, we have some special problems with their ear anatomy that make it even trickier to deal with. So chronic ear infections, the ones that come back, the first thing that I like to do is back up and say, okay, have we really looked at all of the things that we think could be causing this? And if you've already looked at things like the swimming potential, things like that, that's great. But there are some other things that can relate to ear infections. And the first one that always pops in my head is food allergies or seasonal allergies. Those things can actually influence and cause the potential for ear infections in a lot of dogs. So it may seem like the ear infection is the real problem, but there's an underlying allergy. So I wouldn't hesitate to get your baby on a special hypoallergenic food. And especially if I see ear infections recurrent in a young dog, I really look at food allergy. I take that possibility very seriously. So there are special diets. I'm sorry?
Okay, because we feed her science diet and have since day one.
Yeah, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but if we're investigating the possibility of a food allergy, hard to test for, and what we actually do is called a food trial. So we put her on a special food, hypoallergenic, and we do that for 6 to 8 weeks, and we look to see if some of the other signs that are going on in their body, if those are improving. If it's limited to ear infections, that's what we watch. If she's having ear and skin problems, we watch that. If there's diarrhea, other problems, we watch that along with the ears. But that would be something I would really look at for her. Now, the other thing is that as far as I'm all about combined approaches for ear infections, so I like topicals. I don't think you can get away from that, but I do like to address things from other directions. And for if we have yeast infections, I put them on pill form of yeast infections so that we can complement an ointment or a drop that we're putting in the ear. And I find that sometimes if we just do drops, we're just really coming one approach at it, and it really isn't always effective for these chronic ears. But I think the allergy part is going to be a huge thing that I'd really, really look at for her. And then I did mention something about Sharpays, and it's hard because I can't see your baby's ear, but Sharpays kind of have those kind of squishy little ears, and their ear canals can be just genetically very narrow, and that can pose some real...
She has very narrow ear channels.
Okay. So for a lot of breeds that have that, one thing that I like to do, it's actually a surgery. It's a surgery called a lateral ear resection, and what we do is we actually remove part of the outer part of the ear canal, and it gives you, as the pet owner, an easier way to medicate the deeper part of the ear. And it actually is a wonderful step for pets that have chronic ear infections. I like to investigate the allergy part first, because no matter what you do, if there's an allergy, the surgery is only going to be partially of benefit. So that would probably be something secondary down the road that I would look at.
Okay, I have one question. We heard of that surgery, but we mm-hmm. heard that it was very gross when they cut that part of the ear out, and that it was very hard on the dog, and it just really looked nasty when they done that surgery. I mean, you know, it's hard for me to explain, but
sure.
And as far as the food allergy, I'll be honest, I spoil her freaking rotten. I let her eat. If I'm eating it, she's eating it. I don't care if it's ice cream. It don't matter. So I should stop probably doing that, huh?
Yeah, if you're going to embrace that approach and try a food trial. So what that basically means is once we get your baby on a special diet, we can't add in other foodstuffs because it just negates the whole effort. So you'll waste time, money, and you really get a false sense that it's not working if everyone in the household's not on board. So that would be something I'd make sure everyone's ready to embrace. And if you can do it, it's a great thing. And, you know, food is medicine in some cases. And I would definitely say that might be the situation there. Now, going back to the surgery, there's different ear surgeries. The lateral ear opening is the simpler approach, and it's not something I'd say is horribly uncomfortable for the pet. Once they get past that surgery, it can be a wonderful, kind of almost a liberating feeling to have good feeling ears. There's more advanced surgeries. Lateral ear canal resection is the formal word.
Lateral ear canal
resection.
Refraction.
Resection. Oh. Cutting away, you resect it. There are more difficult surgeries where the whole ear canal is taken out. I'm not talking about that. That is a more radical end-stage surgery, so that's not what we're talking about. Now, I'll agree that it does change the appearance, this lateral ear canal resection, but if it's a therapy that helps your pet, I think it's just a matter of getting used to a different look. And all we're talking is about a strip about, you know, a centimeter and a half wide by maybe 4 centimeters that's going to look different on the ear. So I've done it on a lot of breeds that aren't typical ear infection dogs like poodles. And it helps if the ears are flop because you don't see it as much. But in a prick ear or an erect ear dog, there's no reason that you can't get used to it. It's really not that unsettling. And, you know, it can really have its place, especially in the Sharpay breed. So I'd consider that.
Okay.
Well, hopefully that's of some help for you. And, gosh, those ear infections, they are a booger to deal with. So I feel your pain here, Jeff, and hopefully that could give you some help. This is Dr. Debbie at Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Portions of today's show are a repeat from an earlier broadcast.
Alan Cable, hope you're doing well. And now for your listening pleasure, a baby and a husky imitating each other. You know, a big consideration for most folks when they go out to get a new dog are the kids. So I'm going to tell you which breeds experts say are the best with kids. And number 5, the durable bulldog. He's got a sweet disposition and he tires out real easily. And number 4, a breed that seems to be disappearing. You don't see very many anymore, maybe because they're so energetic and they need so much exercise. The Irish Setter, one of my personal favorites. These guys are fun-loving comedians. They're really sweet dogs. But again, they need tons of exercise. The top 3 coming up after the husky and the baby go at it imitating each other again. Reminds me of that movie Ted with Mark Wahlberg. At number 3 on the list of best dogs to get when you have kids, the poodle. They're loyal, tolerant, and they shed very little. So they're a really good dog to get if your child might have allergies. Again, though, despite what Joey Villani says, research shows that dogs can be embarrassed. So please don't make your poodle look like Lady Gaga. We're counting down the top breeds that are great with kids. At number 2 on the list, the Labrador Retriever. These dogs are loyal, protective, and they love to play. They also come in 3 colors, white, black, and brown. And the number 1 best dog to get if you have kids, according to the experts, the Golden Retriever. Golden Retrievers are very loyal and patient dogs. You know how little kids are, and Goldens will put up with a lot. But it's still very important to remember, no matter what kind of dog you have, and no matter how sweet and loving he is, never leave your dog alone with your child. Your dog might not mean to hurt your child, but because he's so much bigger, it could easily happen. Thank you, baby and husky.
This is
Animal Radio, baby. Check out Animal Radio highlights. All the good stuff without the blah, blah, blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
Hello, this is Jane Goodall on Animal Radio. And I'd just like everybody to realize that each day you live, you make some difference on the planet. And you can choose what kind of difference you're going to make. And hopefully every day you'll try to make the world a little bit better for people, for animals, and for the environment.
With MedGuard Alert, you're never alone. You can connect with medical professionals anywhere, anytime. And now MedGuard is introducing our exclusive new CareWatch. If you need help quickly, use it from anywhere to contact medical professionals. No cell phone required. The CareWatch is not only a life-saving medical alert device. It's a revolutionary health monitoring system that checks your blood pressure, heart rate, oxygen saturation, and much more. And here's the best part. If you have Medicaid, you may qualify to get your CareWatch for free. The CareWatch is only available through MedGuard Alert. Call us right now. We have monitoring programs starting as low as $1 a day. The call is free, activation is free, shipping is free, and no contract is required. Remember, with Medicaid, you may qualify to get your CareWatch for free. Call us to get your CareWatch right now.
800-451-4807. 800-451-4807. 800-451-4807. That's 800-451-4807.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. That's old news. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, you now have tons of options. Save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect. We scan your location and offer you the best TV and internet options. And we always have specials and promotions. So when you call, ask about that. Take 5 minutes of your time. Make this free call now and learn how to save money and get better internet and TV for your home anywhere in the U.S. Make this simple and free call now.
800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban
or rural. You must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.